for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, May the 23rd, 2015. Van Hutchinson is the speaker of the service teaching on stress, the root of many diseases.
For yea, I am establishing a new authority in your lives. I am establishing my authority in your lives. I will rule over you. I will be your Lord. I will be your master, but you must submit yourself unto me. You must allow me to bring forth the new order in you that I desire to bring forth in you. It will not be like you have thought. It will not be like you have dreamed. It will not be like you have envisioned, but it will be of me, saith the Lord. It will be something new and different, something that you have never before experienced. For I want a people that will go through this land that will do mighty exploits. I want a people that will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want a people that will bring deadly things and will not hurt them. I want people that will move through this land that will move through my power and my authority. And I have given you all power. I have given you all authority. But I am saying you must reach out and claim it. It will cost you to claim it. But you must reach out and claim that authority. You must reach out and take your rightful position in the body of Christ, for I am calling you. I am calling you. I am calling you. Do you not hear me calling you? Do you not hear me wooing you? Do you not hear me telling you to lay aside those things and the weights and things that you have held? Lay aside your own ideas. Lay aside your own imagination. Lay aside your own beliefs. Lay aside the things that you've always thought. Many of those things and thoughts that you've had are of yourself. They're of the flesh. They're not of the Spirit, saith the Lord. And I would say unto you to seek me with your whole heart, and I will pour into you. I will pour into you. I will pour into you of my Spirit, and it will go forth with power and authority and anointing in this land, saith the Lord.
I bind up every demonic spirit that tried to cause harm in this place. Today I break your power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He said He gave me power and authority over all devils. In the name of Jesus, I use that authority. And I break off all that stuff we see sometimes when we go out. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. You want to affect the Word of God. You want to affect the bringing of the Word of God. You are bound, and you'll just have to sit here and listen to it. If you don't like it, you can leave. But if you stay here, you're going to have to hear the Word of God. Glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
When Brother Moody came up with the put them in the box, because remember, I thought it was Brother Moody, but I like the idea of putting them in the box and let God just, have the angels just speak the Word of God over them. But that ain't enough for me. That's not enough. I say, Lord, just keep them in there and just speak the Word over them until they go spiritually insane. I mean, they're dumb anyway. They're a devil and they've rebelled against you. Yeah, but then let them go spiritually insane. What do we hear? You know, this is a war. You do understand that, I'll tell you to say this, somewhere I'll get to this, but everybody that comes in the kingdom of God is a soldier for God, right? But I have to tell you this more than that. Everybody is not a warrior for Christ. And this end time move is going to take some warriors. And God is raising up a grassroots warrior group that nobody knows and nobody cares about and don't want to know you, don't care about you. But I'm going to tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. And God's raising an army of we talk about this a lot. We're smack mouth people. Because when the King of Glory says charge, we're not going to look around and see if somebody else wants to come out of the trench. We want to be the first one out. We want to engage them. And what deliverance people do, we are a seek and destroy mission. And everywhere we find them, we smack them in the mouth. And people say sometimes, y'all too strong. We're not strong enough. See, you didn't talk the way you talk to devils. I'll taunt them because I can. I want to make them so mad. You make them mad enough and they'll manifest. They'll come up. And then you just want to get them out of there. Get the person by the throat and squeeze them so they can't, the devil can't get back down. But we don't do that. But it's an idea. I've never thought about that before. Glory be to God. Revelations at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Now, Sandy set the bar pretty high for Van Hutchinson's ministry last night. How many of y'all are here? You think she set the bar high? And then you get me today. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to talk on stress, the root of many diseases. And we may not get a chance to minister in this particular session, but I'm going to get this word out to you. I'm going to take my time and get the word out. We come and we talk about deliverance and devils, but I got to tell you, we have to say, Jesus is the reason we can cast out devils. Sometimes people forget that. They get a little thick-chested and look at me. I never cast out a devil in my life. But I let the power of God go through us to do it. And it's a wonderful thing to be used of God for that. Amen. You know, God used a donkey to speak. And he used me to speak, so it doesn't put me in too high a cotton there. It kind of brings you down to a level, you know. Because I was really proud. You don't know pride. First devil got cast out of me, I was standing about right there, I think. I can't remember the guy's name. Tall Texan cowboy. I like cowboy boots. I like cowboy boots. I like horses. And so God sent me a cowboy down here. It just shot out of my nose, you know. And Mr. Pomper was standing up here, and this stuff shooting out of his nose and dripping off on the floor. And Sandy handed me a paper towel, and I was thinking to myself, thank God for a good life, you know. But the second thing I thought about was, you know, this don't look very dignified, does it? So now once all the dignity is gone, it doesn't matter anymore. Hey, it's behind us. It's old stuff. But Jesus is the reason we do what we do. Amen. He's the reason we can do what we do. He won the war for the earth, for mankind. Yeah. But we're in mock-up stages. And I was explaining this to a guy one time, and he stopped me and he said, hey, when I was in Iraq, he said, the war was already over, but we had to go out there and get those mines out of the way. Dig up those mines and find them and get them out of the way and restore the land. And he said, honestly, what are you talking about? So that's what we do. We're on a mop-up mission for the King of Glory. His name is Jesus. And we can't say that enough. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the bright morning star, the lily of the valley, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's everything in between. He's everything you're ever going to need. Jesus said, oh, you that labor and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And we do deliverance. I say, Lord, the best I can do is get them to your feet. We do what we call roto-rooter. We bring them, we get rid of all the garbage that comes with them and bring them to the feet of Jesus and say, here they are, Lord. Now we'll tell them to come out, but you're going to have to drive them out. And he does, because he's the King. Amen. He's the King. We just work for the King. Yeah, it takes the pressure off of it. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yea, in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And you know, Jesus paid such a price for us. And I read Revelation chapter 4, and all the colors coming up that throne, and all those demons up there crying, holy, 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 just having a good time. And I said, he left that place to come down here and get the angel. a letdown. You know, for us, we just said, boy, this is real, this is a drag. But he did that for us. And I feel like that whatever he died for, I owe it again. I owe him that much. And so what am I talking about? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Name the Jimmy, take all you give. Boy, you hush for it, no more, and we do all our little things. But all I can think about a lot of times is, Jesus, you died. That stripped him off naked. I'm just up here shooting stuff out my nose. But that stripped him off naked and nailed him on a cross with things that looked like railroad spikes. And every time he took a breath, he was like this, guys. It wasn't these pretty pictures. He was like this. I was physical therapist. I've never noticed this stuff. And every time he took a breath, he had to pull himself up so he could compress his lungs so that the air could come out. We owe him to go for broke. We owe him. We do the other people, we tell them, we're not telling you something to do, we're telling you a new way of life. If you don't change what you've been doing to let those devils in, they'll be back, and if they don't come, their brothers will be there. You've got to change what you do. You've got to change your attitude. And your attitude ought to be, I owe him. If I don't get my next breath, it's because he didn't give it to me. But what do I care? That's promotion time. But as long as we're here, we're gonna get everything he died for. Not because I want a big house. Not because I want money.
Amen.
Money to us is nothing. I mean, it's things. You use things to bless people. We want this because he cared enough to leave heaven and come down here and feel the pain and experience the shame of that cross. And we owe him how to do it. Okay. So we're going to talk about trying to walk in victory with God. You know, I don't know where we turned the corner. I wish I had arrived where we ought to be. But somewhere along the line, we turned the corner. And we stopped walking toward God. We started walking with Him. People say, you hear God? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. I just know. I just know. You didn't deliver. What did God say? He didn't say anything. I just knew it. Just did it because it was, I knew it. So, we want to learn how to do what we call operating the kingdom of God. God told me this, and I said, is that right? Never heard of such. Never heard anybody talk about operate the kingdom of God just like you operate your car. Now listen, when you drove here, you knew where you wanted to go. You knew the road map to get you there, and you knew how to drive your car. You put the key in the ignition, and you turn the switch. And you down in South Georgia, we say you mashed on the gas and you mashed on the brake, but Sandy said we can't talk like that anymore. So you press on the accelerator and you press on the brake at proper times, and you ended up here. Now see, if we attack driving our car like we do the kingdom of God, I'd be talking to Sandy. Because she'd be the only one here. Because most of you still, we'd be going that way, we'd be 5 hours out of the way. Is that what? Was it 5 hours that you had been? What? Now you got to watch me because I'm sneaky. I used to do a lot of teaching kids, so you just had to go out there and get them. They're with me. We're going to get somewhere. Listen now. You operate the kingdom of God. I'm not getting home. You know, sometimes we get started. And I would never say anything to hurt you if I thought about it. If it hurts you, please don't take it that way. We're just so gung-ho for Jesus. And we just don't let anything get in the way. You know, we try not to hurt you. We try to go around you. But if we brush you a little bit by, we sure didn't mean to. But forgive us.
Yeah.
So Operating the kingdom of God is the same way as operating your car, because you know the promises. If you read the Word, you know the promises of God. And then somewhere around those promises, He tells you the condition for getting that promise. That's the road. You got to drive on the road. You got to know how to get there. And then you've got to apply the wisdom and become willfully obedient to the conditions to receive the promise.
But God, I got to go over and pray to God.
You got to go stay home.
Amen.
It's not going to help you very much. Willful obedience. That's what we started. We say obedience. Now we say willful obedience. I want to follow Jesus. So we know what the promise is. We know how to get there by doing it. And now we got the wisdom to know how to operate that kingdom and end up where we're supposed to be. Now there's two ways that God uses to operate the kingdom of God. The first one is the law of sovereignty. God is God. He'll do what He wants to do.
Amen.
Now, here's the problem with the law of sovereignty.
He doesn't use it very much.
He's already given you the roadmap. He's already told you how to get it. He told you what to do. And so most people are sitting around, "Boy, I wish I was healed. God healed me. If God wants to heal me, He'd heal me." One of my neighbors walked around for 2 years with a brain tumor. He said, "God wants me, I'm ready." And about 2 weeks before God was ready, he was saying, "I hope God heals me." Had 2 years to operate the kingdom of God. He waited for 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. He was waiting on a sovereign move of God. I tell you, when God moves sovereignly, when He wants to change the course of human history, He moves sovereignly. And sometimes in the course of an individual human history, if you're getting off the mark and God's got a plan for you, He may move in a sovereign way to get you back on that path. But we're waiting for God to give me out of a sovereign move of God. It's probably not going to be like that. If you feel that way, you probably will go to your grave looking for your needs to be met by a sovereign God who's not moving sovereignly. He gave you a roadmap. He gave you the directions. Use it. The other way that God uses to operate the kingdom of God is the law of sowing and reaping. And we believe that that is the major way God moves. Most everything God does is out of the law of sowing and reaping. And really, most people have gotten up here spoken this seminar have been talking about the law of sowing and reaping. Now, I just naturally assume that you want to live a righteous lifestyle. Right? I just naturally assume that because you want to follow Jesus, that when you know you've missed the mark, you're going to repent. 1 John 1:9, when he says confess, that Greek word means say it again. What'd you do? You know, after you said, I was in fornication 5 or 6, 7, 8 times, you're going to say, "I got to get this thing straight. I can't keep going to God and say, I've just committed fornication." You can't keep doing that, and you won't. You'll start getting it right, or you'll get out of the kingdom. One of the two. So God uses what we believe, the law of sowing and reaping, to help us to receive the things that Jesus died for. You thought it was a free ride. Well, I got saved. I said, "I'm free now." And a lot of places we've been, "We're free!" Rein it back in, boys. I got something to tell you here about this freedom. You're free to serve God. That's all you're free for. You're here, Revelation 4. You're here for His purpose. And that's all. Well, I don't know. Who cares what you want? Shut up and get willful. Shut up. Man, you can't talk like that. I just did. Get in line with God. Follow the King. I learned real quick. I used to try to cut my own path. Hey, if you can follow him behind Jesus, he'll cut your path. Life gets a lot easier behind him. So the law is sowing and reaping. God tells us in His Word what to do, and we go do it. And then with patience, we wait for the reward. But see, the problem is most people don't know how to be patient. We live in a fast-food society, don't we? I believe we rode by McDonald's. And And they threw up a hamburger out the window. On the way here. Glory be to God. Well, if McDonald's will throw you a hamburger out the window, why won't God? Because McDonald's only wanted that money we shoved in the other one. God wants you. It doesn't always happen that way. What? I snap my fingers and God does it. What? We say, move away from that weird person. We say, they're spooky. Move away from this spooky person. Hold on, God, just a minute. I got to get away from here. Now let's look at the law of sowing and reaping. Our scriptural reference is in Galatians 6, 7, 8, 7 and 9, excuse me. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We'll see that last part of that scripture again. I hope we get to that before the end of the day. But in the King James here, it says, capital S. So into the Holy Spirit. I have to tell you, I don't believe that's capital S. I believe it's a little S, and it's talking about your human spirit. Your spirit, soul, and body, your spirit man and your flesh man are warring against one another, and they meet in the soulless realm, and they fight a terrific battle for you. If you will sow to your spirit will come in there with a lot of ammunition, and he'll whoop that flesh. But if you sow it into your flesh is coming in there, and your flesh is going to whip your spirit man. We say the spirit man is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he overcomes in the soldier's realm and puts down that flesh man and those demons that are trying to influence you to get in. But you have got to stop sowing in the flesh and start sowing into your spirit so your spirit man can win being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Will you let me say it that way? So how can we sow to the Spirit? And Joshua 1:8, which I just love the scripture, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How many of you want good success? Well, some of you out there are due for failure. How many of you want good success? Okay. Let me just say what this scripture says. When he said, don't let it depart from your mouth, I thought he said, don't let it get in your mouth. The Hebrew of the Old Testament says, don't cease to have the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Don't fail to be having the Word present in your mouth at all times. And when he said, meditate, see what I
do. Did you go through meditation?
Do you have a spirit guide? And they should say, yes, I have the Holy Spirit guide me in that. But the word meditate means to act a thoughtful deliberation with the implication of speaking to oneself. Speaking to oneself? What are you talking about? Yeah, have you ever looked at the scripture and just all of a sudden something jumped out of there? You've read it 50 times and you've never seen it before. And all of a sudden there it was. And you go, Lord, now God. Or if you're like Sandy, living with Sandy is a lot of fun. I've spent 30 minutes getting all these scriptures together. I've been at the computer, I've been pulling scriptures, I've put them all, and I've got them all out there in front of me, and I'm just fixing to get out to it, and I hear coming down the hall. The door of the room flies open, and in she comes. Let me show you this! Now that's meditation. Look at this! And I'm sitting there, and she'll... Turn around here. Look at me. Let me show you this. She's been meditating on the Word of God. Well, that's meditation. And he says, go do it. Go do it. And you'll have good success. There you have the formula. Everybody want a formula. 3 steps to doing so and so. Well, here's the 3 steps. You do that and everything will work. It won't be perfect. You got trials you're going to have to go through. You got blessings you're going to have. But when you've got the sustainer, you can go through anything. Especially when you're not looking at your flesh, but you're looking at the Spirit. Holy Spirit through your spirit. You can just keep on going. A lot of times, things, people come up and say, well, I'm sorry that I did so and so to you. I say, huh? What you talk to? When did you do that? I never even saw it. Didn't even know it. Do the word, it works for you. Now, say what God says, think on it, consider it, and weigh what He says, and then go do what He says. You'll have good success. That's the law of sowing and reaping, in a nutshell. Now, there are spiritual laws that govern sowing and reaping. I'm going to give you six. I'll give you six laws. There may be more, but there's not less, because I got six. The first spiritual law I want to give you, and see, people say, why you going to talk about spiritual laws? One lady came and said, no, I want to talk about deliverance. I want to talk about something else. Love. Well, love, what got you in this trouble? You love too much. And you didn't love the right thing. So now let's talk about what's going to get you out of it. Well, people say, why you going to talk about laws of sowing and reaping? It's just the Bible. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go find us a farmer. And let's ask him how important is it to know about sowing and how to get your crop planted and how to get your crop in. You show me a guy who can only grow weeds, he's a bad farmer. He won't be there long. And you show me most Christians and you find weeds because they don't know how to farm in the kingdom of God. And they're just producing weeds in their life. How can you produce weeds and then you have, we got the power? We got nothing when we're like that. I think the funny man showed up today. You know, I never know who's coming. Sometimes it's the serious guy. And you better get it right. Let's start to get it right now. And then sometimes it's the funny guy. First of all, don't know if I forgot what I was talking about, did you? And I got to come out of this country. I don't know what happened to y'all's weather out here, but we thought it was going to be hot. So I went down and bought me a new shirt. I like it too, thank you. But I had to cover it up with a coat because it was cold. But it gets hot sometimes when you get up and doing Jesus. We're doing Jesus. It gets hot when you do Jesus. Now, first of all, the field in which you sow your seeds is the field which you're going to pick your seeds from. I ride down the road minding my own business. And I did hear this from God. And the Lord said, even you wouldn't plant your watermelons in one field and try to pick them out of another. And I said, only thing I heard was even you. I said, what do you mean, even me? And when I finally got calmed down where I could figure out what he was talking about, he wasn't buking and rebuking me. I said, yeah, you're right, Lord. And it's absolutely right because that's exactly what I do. I like my watermelons and I used to try to grow them in the backyard. Didn't you about that? I try to eat them. So now I grow a watermelon. Well, that's what we do. We plant in the flesh a lot, and then when it comes time to reap out of the kingdom of God, we run over to God and say, okay, God, here I am. God said, well, what you mean? You plant over there. You got to go back over there and pick your fruit. You understand what I'm saying? That makes sense to anybody besides me? One of the reasons you get up and pray, we figured out real quick that if we didn't have a good prayer life, we probably wouldn't get many devils out. So we just started trying to get two long prayers a day where we just went at it with God. You got to get in the presence of God if you're going to send out the presence of God. If you watch days of our lives, you're probably not going to be able to be very effective at getting a kundalini out. Tell, is that the truth or not? Don't go after a bear with a pop gun. Most people in the body of Christ shooting pea shooters. You got pea shooters out here? You know, all know Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh, and you know the works of the fruit of the Spirit. If you sow in the flesh, that's where you'll pick it. And in the flesh, there's sickness, poverty, and destruction, and you're never satisfied with life, and there's rebellion against God. The richest people I know are never satisfied. I'm just happy as I can be. We sit in our cave and do Jesus all day, and we're just happy as we can be. Don't have a lot of money, don't need it. Money comes in, it goes out. That's all it's good for. If you sow in the flesh, you'll never be satisfied. But when you sow with the Spirit of God, then things will begin to happen in the spirit realm for you. Now, they happen in the spirit world before they happen in the physical world in which we live. Well, I've all in prayer, aren't you? Maybe you need to hang in there in prayer a little bit longer. It's going to happen up here first. You can't see up there unless God opens your spiritual eyes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That person is not your problem. It's that spirit world out there that causes people to act crazy around you. You got to get up in the spirit realm. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God that are pulling down a stronghold. And we're down here in the flesh trying to get those people, but we ought to be up here going through God and getting God to work with us in the spirit realm so that we can change the circumstances of life. It'll change up there, and then it'll manifest down here. And if you quit before it manifests down here, this up here in the spirit realm will stop too. Now, let me get a second one. Second, sowing and reaping law or rule. The seeds that you sow determine the fruit that you pick. That seems very elementary, doesn't it? In the natural, if you plant corn seeds, you're not going to pick watermelons, are you? Not unless God gives you a miracle. But in the natural, you plant corn seeds, that's what you're going to get. Now, if you need healing and deliverance, you need to plant scriptures of warfare.
Amen.
I am God's battle axe and weapons of war. And with me, He does break in pieces of nations and destroy kings. I'm on a seek and destroy mission for the kingdom of God. And if I find the devil in me, I'll go after him. If I find the devil in you, I'll help you get him out again. That's what we want to keep before us all the time, out of our mouths, keeping that before us, if that's what you need. And we get people in deliverance and we send them all these teachings because we want to get them on the same wavelength with us. We want to get them on, hey, I'm going to beat the devil until he leaves. We're not going to quit. We're going to beat him and beat him and beat him until he leaves. But if you're not seeing any progress. So we do a series of individual deliverance sessions. If we go after everything. Clean house. And so a couple of sessions and think, well, I just can't get rid of these souls. I just can't get rid of those souls. And I say, it's the devil telling you to shut up. Hey, it sounded like me. I don't care what it sounded like. It's the devil. If you didn't talk in that word of God, it's the devil telling you to shut up and leave.
Amen.
And by the way, what have you been listening to this week? Well, I was listening to on the TV so-and-so, and I was listening on love. I was listening on grace. I said, you've been listening on love and grace all your Christian walk, and you're not operating in grace and love. You need to start off and get something you can operate right now, and that's kill, and go after them, and beat them, and show them no mercy. We don't say as much anymore. I thought I said, I ask for no quarter, I'll give you no quarter. Get strong in the Lord, and you don't have to ask for a quarter from a devil. You need to build yourself up in what you need. If you need finances, you can't pay the rent. You can't put food on the table for your children. You need to be over there and talking about something. I'm a winner because God's a winner. I give and it's given back on me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm a tither. God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out blessings in my house. There's not room enough to receive it. God, we're going to tell us a sword building in the back next week. Just keep putting it down. But if I'm sick, I'm going after sickness, thank God I'm healed by Jesus Christ. By whose stripes ye were healed. If I was healed, I am healed. I bound up every devil with sickness that will try to come against me, but I'm healed. I call things which be not as though they were. I curse every symptom of that disease. I'm healed by Jesus Christ. I said, I'm not sick, you know, my head's spinning around. But I can say I'm healed by Jesus Christ, so that's what the Word says. And how are you going to say it? Till it comes or I die. And if I die, I'll just get a promotion and go live with Jesus. Who cares? People ask me that. Well, what if you don't get it? Now I'm going home with the Lord and you'll still be down here doing what you're doing. Third one. If you don't sow seeds, you won't reap a crop.
Amen.
Elementary. But we sure miss it in the kingdom. Every action you do is a sowing in one or other of the kingdoms. The flesh is Satan's kingdom and the spirit is God's kingdom. Everything you do, when you got mad, where'd you sow that seed? Anger, flesh. You showed mercy and love, where'd that go? Over here in the spirit with God. We're planting seeds. Everything we're doing all day long, we're planting seeds. Now, I'm not sin conscious. I am quick to repent. I'm righteous conscious, but recognizing repentance is how I stay clean before God.
Amen.
That's the Roto-Rooter. Clean out that pipeline. If it's not working, Roto-Rooter, while, you know? But we want the God. And we're not always looking for the sin in the camp, because we tried to deal with the sin in the camp to start with, and now we're trying to walk with God. And when God showed us we missed it, we repent it, get it out of the way, and keep on going with God. See, a lot of people, they stumble. And they get stopped right there. That's not God's plan. It's to clean you so you can go on. Now, today, let's see if I can do this in this little bitty area. Today you plant a seed in the Spirit. Then tomorrow you plant seeds in the Spirit. The third day you plant seeds in the Spirit. The fourth day you plant seeds in the Spirit. Well, somewhere down the line, say day 15. Arbitrary enough. All of a sudden, the seeds you planted on day one in the Spirit of God have come up and you're picking fruit. You're living in the fruit of what you planted 15 days ago. I'm not worried about day 15. I'm just flowing along to God because I'm eating fruit from what I planted back there. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Lord.
But now on the fifth day, you decided, I've been doing this praying business a lot. I can't just sit here at the house and pray all the time. I got to get out there and I got to go watch me a TV movie or something. You know, I'm not against TV, I'm not against food, but just pick a good one. But I'm going to, yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's sitting in this one. We stop, we take a break. Well, see, at day 18 or 19 or 20, your break time comes up. And you open your mouth to eat fruit in the Spirit, but you didn't plant any fruit back there. You didn't plant any seeds back here. You don't have any fruit out here. But what you did plant was flesh. And when you open your mouth, you ate the fruit of that flesh. Does that make sense to y'all?
Yeah.
Well, when God showed me this, it just changed my whole attitude. Hey, I used to crop tobacco on foot. I wasn't so glad to see that come up, the lack of growth up there. But it was a seed time and harvest time. The problem with taking leisure, in Matthew 12:43-45, let's read that. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And it says here that he's going to try to come back in and bring seven others worse than himself. But my point is here, that the house, when we get clean, we get rid of this demonic mess. And if that one doesn't come, I hear people like, well, that's not saying that. People say, well, that's saying that. I don't care what it says. I know this. There's plenty of them on the outside that's got orders up the line to get in you if they can. And if they find you empty, swept, and garnished, they will get in you. Now here's the thing. What I wanted you to see was the Greek word for empty finds us empty. It means to be unused and empty. Just no purpose. Just living in life. Just do whatever comes up. No purpose. It means to have nothing to do or to cease from acting. Now, does that begin to sound to you like the sowing back here? You stop doing action that planted seeds in the Spirit. You didn't do that. But the last part of that meaning means to take a holiday and to be on leave. Go ahead and take a break if you want to. I don't mean, you can take a vacation, take Jesus with you. You know, when we came here, my family still needs covering. And we still better find a way to pray over them while we're here. You cannot take a day off. Demons never quit. They don't live in a world of getting tired and going to sleep. That's you and me. And you think, well, this is not a fair fight. And you're absolutely right, because they don't stand a chance. Because we got the King of Glory that backs us up. You just got to bring him into play. You can't take leave. You can't just sit out and quit. And recreate all day long and expect down the road when you're supposed to be eating the fruit of today, expect to have spiritual fruit. You'll eat the physical fruit. And here's the problem. That's when the devil comes. And your devil says, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Well, what are you binding with? You're binding with a pea shooter again. Because you're not sowing in the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not trying to put condemnation on you, because we do all kinds of things standing out here. We just take Jesus with us. You know he'll go to the ball game with you. He will. I mean, he likes ball games. You can get some really good revelation, too. Just listen for God. You know, we got to talk to God about watching the ball game sometimes. You know, that's okay. So, the people around you don't like it, but it's okay. We do deliverance, and you find people, and I know you guys know this, you find people that they've been under such oppression for 30 years, and all of a sudden, that part of that oppression begins to leave. And they're so excited about it. One lady told us, she said, I'm just now finding out who I am. I said, how do you like yourself? Well, you see, when you've been under bondage like that for so long, and all of a sudden, you start seeing a little bit of light, I understand that you might like to just sit down and take a deep breath. I can understand that. But I got to tell you, somewhere along that day, you better get into those scriptures. You better get in that word. You better get in confessing what God said about you. Because if you don't, you won't be sowing your seeds in the Spirit of God. And you'll eat the fruit of the flesh. Now, the fourth one is, the amount of seed sown determines the quantity of the fruit that's reaped. That makes sense. You know, the unjust judge, I could probably, I don't know why I think I could get these pages done in about an hour. I don't know why I think that. It's just confusion on my part sometimes. But spiritual confusion. But you know the story of the unjust judge. And he said, the Bible says that this woman just kept coming to him. And he said he didn't regard man. And he didn't regard God at all. And so people said, well, that unjust judge said, that's godly. And I said, wait a minute. Doesn't regard man? Didn't I just tell y'all that Jesus left heaven? Came down here? He said, he certainly regards us. And I know for sure he regards himself. That's not pride. That's just the way it is. That's right. It's the right thing. Pride, right and pride are two different things. It's the right thing. So, can't be talking about God. And there's only two kings. This is not rocket science. You don't have to have a lot of engineering degrees to understand this. Two kingdoms. God, Satan. It's not God, it's Satan. If it's not Satan, it's God. Okay, we got that. It's all understood now. We can figure this out. So, it's not God. And it says, this woman just kept coming to him and kept coming to him. Avenge me! Avenge me! Avenge me! And he said, you know, this woman, by her continual coming, she's going to weary me. Now, the Greek word for weary means beat black and blue. Give me a black eye. All right, by a continual coming, coming and coming and coming and coming. I said, the more seeds you sow, the more crop you get. What farmer would go out and throw up three or four kernels of corn? That's not going to happen. He fills the field up because he wants a good crop. So as we come and continue to come, so I pray today and I haven't got it yet. Big deal. Tomorrow I'll be back. And so when we're dealing with it, some of these devils, you know, just because I said the name of Jesus, they don't come out. Maybe y'all are better than I am. But some of them just sit there. And so tomorrow I'll be back. Who said that, Arnold, didn't he? I'll be back. It was spiritual. And you know how spiritual Arnold was when he said that. But it's spiritual. I'll be back. One minister told us that he went to, he ministered in, what our pastor that sent us out, laid hands on us and sent us out. Had great miracles. Ministry, that's the truth. He was ministering to this, in this place, and he said, okay, if you need prayer, come down, and I'll pray for you. Well, this little girl had her grandmother. First one up, right in front of the line. And here was grandma in front of the line. Couldn't see a thing. And she said, I want my grandmother to see so she can see me. So he laid hands on her, prayed for her, God knocked her in the floor. She got up. He said, how you doing, Grandma? I can't see a thing. So, and he said, God, you could have given me something easy to start with. Well, so the next meeting, he said, you need prayer? Come down. There she was, that little girl, had Grandma by the hand, right in front of the line. So he said, if I, if they had no grandma, paper grandma, God knocked her on the floor, she got up and said, how you doing, grandma? Can't see a thing. Went on every service. He said, oh, Lord, here she comes again. Every service, she's the first one in the line. And I got to pray for her. She always falls on the floor. She gets up. She said, I can't see a thing. And then I got to pray for all these other people. And I said, he don't have nothing. So the last meeting. Okay. All right. Then I need prayer. Then I'm okay. Because he knew grandma was going to be in the front of that line with that little girl. And every time, he said, grandma, I see. The little girl said, hi, grandma, can't see. I want her to see so she can see me. He said, all right. In the name of Jesus, she falls down in the floor. She gets up, runs all over the room, screaming, I can see, I can see. And he was riding down the road when he was back in the States. He's riding down the road, and some guy cut him off in the car. And so he was beginning to get that road rage. And the Spirit of the Lord said, is this the way a man of God acts? And he said, uh-oh. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. And right then, it opened up. And he saw Grandma. And Grandma had this demon, like an octopus, on her face. And he said, the first time he prayed for her, one of those tentacles went, ding. The second time he prayed, it went, ding. And the last time he prayed, he's hanging on, and it goes, bing, and grandma sees. Now, I just have, you know, I didn't say, that's God, but I know he has miracles, and I know the woman, when he said the woman could see, I believed him. And the scripture said, come, continue, come, until you get it, never give up, never quit, never back up, charge forward at all times. People say, well, did you know about the such and such devil? I said, I don't know about that. I know this. He's up. He's mine. I don't have to know your name. I didn't, you know, I'm talking to you. Why? Because you acted up. All right, I'm calling you one acting up now. I'm commanding you, come out of the name of Jesus. And I found out this. So I'm not, I found this out. I said, people go, I just said, well, no, that's God himself. And I said, okay, fine and dandy. I'm not that. So I said, come out of the name of Jesus. And I said, oh, wait a minute. We just hate devils. How I hate those that hate thee. I'm grieved at those that hate thee. Hail the perfect hatred. I count it as my enemy. Most Christians would be afraid to say, devil, you're my enemy. I hate you, and I'm coming after you. So I just found out that I just say sometimes, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Problem for the ones here. Come out. Oh, baby, I tell you, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. You know what I found out? They started coming out. Holy. No revelation. Give them, Jesus. Okay. Number four. Remember, see, some determined. Oh, you said that, didn't you? Forget that. Number five. Let me tell you something about number four. The excellency of the seed is not in the sower. But it's in God who is the giver. And 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I always say, just give God something. Sandy said it last night. God said, what do you have? What will you believe? I got these four little tablets. I've been on twice a day. I got two days of tablets, Lord. And I've been taking these for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm worse now than I was when I started. But I got these four pills. And God said, well, give them to me. And in 2 days, she was completely healed. Couldn't have been those pills. It is God who multiplies the sins of God. How many of you feel like you're adequate for God? I'm sitting here, and we're just oh, worshiping God. And God is speaking, and I'm saying, God, and I've got to get up and follow him. Hello, Lord, did you miss something? Why don't you send one of the big ones down here, Lord? Kind of multiply seeds that are sown. Give him something to work with. Sow some seeds. And then believe God for the very best that heaven's got to offer. Because it's got a lot. You know, they walk on streets up there that are so pure of gold that you can see through it. How many of you can live off the street with sweepers? Huh? I said, God, just, you hit nobody with sweepers, Lord. Just go down here to the house. I'll take it. If nobody else don't want, give them to me. I'll take it. Give God something to work with. I'll tell you this. The word came about people going. And we pray every day and we say, God, we're so popular in our hometown. We can clear out a restaurant in 3 minutes. There's only one restaurant in town who wants us to come. And that's only because we did deliverance to set him free. I don't even look at the bill anymore. Because he don't put half of it on there. Just put it in my pocket, keep going. Say, you're a good man. You're a good man. That's his business, Lord. What was I talking about? So, multiply. We say, God, if they won't go, send us. If there's anybody in America that you call to go teach deliverance, and they won't do it, Sandy and I'll go. I mean, you took my business. You took everything I stood for. I was the physical therapist in Marion County, South Carolina. When people went into the doctor and said, you got to have therapy, the orthopedic doctor said, I don't understand it. They just keep coming in here and calling your name out, saying, I want that guy. I said, I don't understand it either. What I do is I'm just average in knowledge and average in skill, but excel in results. Now, how do you figure that? Can y'all figure that? Yeah, I do too. I figured it out real quick, but none of them could figure it out. Well, if people won't give it up, Lord, we'll give you the little seed that we are so you can multiply that. Give him something. I said a little thing here. That which is insufficient for man can be multiplied into abundance by God. I'm not limited. I'm not limited by what I know or who I know or who knows me. We say, Lord, if you don't send us, we'll just stay here in the cave. We'll pray for people. We do deliverance in over Skype in South Africa and in India and England and anywhere else they'll call us. We'll stay here in the cave. We just do what you let us do. You multiply the seeds, we'll just do that. Whatever you want. He will multiply insufficiency into an abundance. Now, seeds must be sown in the right season. You see, down in South Georgia, where we're from in South Carolina, I claim South Carolina a little bit. I'm South Georgia. You know how they say you can take the boy out of the country? Well, you can take the boy out of South Georgia, but you have a hard time getting South Georgia out of the boy. They combine the corn, and they get the seed, and they grind up that corn cob and all the corn stuff and shoot it back out on the ground. Well, seeds get on the ground too. And so after they've harvested the corn, and you ride by there in a few days, a couple of weeks, and this is like fall is fixing to come, and you see little corn coming up all across the field. And I like to watch it, see how high it can get. You know, they get them up about that high all the way across the field just to say, man, they got another crop of corn coming. No, they don't. Because you can go back at the first frost and see what happens. It's all around. So you have to sow your seeds in the right season. If the growing season is too short for the seed to produce fruit, you won't have any fruit. And here's the problem with people that wait till they're almost dead, till they're on a deathbed, to the people who are going to lose my house tomorrow if God doesn't come through. Well, you waited too late to start planting the seed. Because that seed will be plowed up in the field because it won't have time to grow before you have to harvest. And I see that so much in the body of Christ.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.